going to share with you a kind of a little bit of the Hill family secrets, skeletons in our closet. So understand that this is not, you know, common knowledge, so I hope no one's videoing and going to tell my mother that I told on her. That's my biggest concern right now. So I remember clearly several times during my childhood, probably almost every year of my childhood, that my mother would go into overdrive preparing the house for company for Sunday lunch. Now, she did this a lot. No one came into our house unless she had had the time to give it the once over, because Mother was very concerned about that sort of thing. But this was the Sunday that the pastor was coming to Sunday lunch. The pastor came once a year, whoever it was, to eat with us. My mother was always concerned about the house, but when it was the pastor, it was 10 times worse. I can relate a little bit because I really can't stand for someone to come into my house when it's messy, and well, it always is. So I guess I got that from my mother, but I just have learned to live with it. But it was interesting this year, particular year that I remember, because we had a new pastor at the church I grew up at. He had been there quite some time, and well, how shall I say this? My mother wasn't completely pleased with him. I knew she wasn't. You know, kids hear things when parents think they're not listening. And I knew that she wasn't fond of them. There are a lot of things that he was doing that she didn't approve of, and several of her close friends had already left the church because of his actions, and yet she was having him and his family for dinner, and she was still going crazy cleaning the house. I didn't get it. Why was she still wanting to impress him? Why did she care how things were around the house when she didn't really care for this guy? I remember that particular visit that Mom worked the whole time. She was in the kitchen getting things ready. She was refilling things. She kept getting people's drinks and refilling them. She never sat down and visited. After the food was eaten, she was cleaning the tables and get it all cleaned up, getting dessert ready, cleaning up dessert. And by the time we finished dessert, the pastor and his family were leaving. And then Mother sat down and put her feet up. I look back now, and knowing what I know now and what I feel when people come to my house, I get it. It's not really about impressing when you invite someone over, but it's an expectation that you want to put your best foot forward. You want to be hospitable, and that happens when you're doing your best, when you feel good about things. We usually all want to do our best, don't we? No matter who's watching. Martha had invited Jesus to her house. She needed to prepare. That was expected. But then when Jesus came and began talking, she didn't stop. She didn't stop to listen. It's interesting that this little story, which is very few verses, has very little information in it. But we have made a lot out of this little story. A lot of lessons. But we don't really know what Jesus was talking about. Some say that Jesus was talking about the scripture. Others say he was teaching lessons Maybe he was just talking about what he did last night. We don't know. It doesn't say. There are people who think that Mary was out of place, that she was a woman and she shouldn't have been in there with the men. But again, we don't really know if there were any men in the room except Jesus. We assume that Lazarus was there, but no mention of him. It was Martha's house. Mary was her sister. It would have been perfectly natural for them to be in the room listening to Jesus. So many people make this scripture about the importance of not doing. I'm not sure if I really believe that. We all have much to do, don't we? What would become of the gospel if we weren't doing? We talk about it all the time. All that we need to do so the kingdom of God can be furthered. Look at all the things we have going in this church. All the things that take people doing in order for things to get done. Look at all the things that this world pulls us to do. As a church, we will soon be in the process of selecting a nominating committee, and they'll work towards creating our next council. All of that requires work and doing. I don't think this scripture is trying to convince us that we need to stop doing. I feel like this scripture is trying to tell us to choose, to focus, or to be distracted. There are times when we need to be busy and maybe even need to be going in 5 different directions at once. But we also need to take the time to focus on what's important. Sometimes that may be cleaning the house. There's a really great feeling you get when that task is complete. At least I hear that that's a good feeling. I don't think I've ever achieved it. But sometimes we need to be still and we need to listen. How often do people invite Jesus into their lives and then don't take the time to listen? How often do we get so busy trying to impress or trying to get things done or just trying to do our own thing that we just don't listen to what Jesus has to say to us? I was reading an article that Kyle Childress wrote on this passage. And he reminded me of the passage in Herman Melville's Moby Dick, in which a whaleboat is being rowed through rough water, through rough seas and wind and salt spray, chasing this great white whale. Sailors are laboring fiercely, rowing the oars. Everyone in the boat is intently focused on the task of catching and harpooning this great white Moby Dick. The big story is the larger-than-life conflict between good and evil, between sea monster versus the morally outraged and deranged man, Captain Ahab. And the captain shouts encouragement to his men to row faster, row faster. And then he threatens them, and then he berates them to get them to row faster, to row faster. Yet in the very front of the boat is one man who does nothing. He just sits there. He doesn't hold an oar. No matter how much the captain yells, row faster, row faster, no matter how much help the men need, he doesn't do anything. He just sits. This man doesn't even break a sweat. No shouting. In fact, he is completely silent with all the crashing and cursing around him. This man is the harpooner. Quiet, poised, waiting. And Melville writes this sentence: "To ensure the greatest efficiency in the dart, the harpooners of this world must start to their feet out of idleness, not out of toil." What a great sentence. This harpooner knows who he is, and he knows what is essential and what is not. He doesn't get entangled in what would get in the way of what is important. And he can only do the important by setting in preparation. Sitting makes all of this other activity possible. I think back again to that day that pastor visited our home. And I remember my mother being so busy that she just didn't sit. She didn't engage. She didn't have any personal time. I know now that she was probably not wanting that personal contact with him. And so she kept herself busy. She invited the pastor and was busy out of obligation, not because of a genuine desire to be in relationship with the pastor. Was Martha wanting to avoid Jesus? I doubt it. But how often do we keep ourselves so busy because we might not want to sit and be quiet and hear what Jesus has to say to us? Are we afraid that Jesus might pull us into a conversation that's hard? Are we afraid Jesus might ask us to do something that's difficult? Maybe we're just afraid that Jesus might just see right into us and know the real us. And by staying busy, we can stay hidden just a little. Kevin and I were talking this morning about this scripture, and he mentioned how strange it was that Mary sat at Jesus' feet. We don't do that very often, do we? Sit at someone's feet. It's a very intimate position. How often have you done that? We do it a lot as a child, don't we? We sit and listen to a teacher read us books or tell us stories or sit and hear a children's sermon. But we don't do it a lot as adults. I think Mary was able to do that because of her desire to have an intimate, genuine, trusting relationship with Jesus. And that's not as easy as it sounds. For us to close out the things of this world and allow ourselves to sit idle with Jesus, knowing that, as the harpooner knew, in order to complete all those tasks we have to do, we need to sit first and be idle and listen and understand what Jesus is asking of us. We need to sit in the presence of God. We need to be and listen to the words given to us. May we be listeners and then doers, not distracted by the world, but focused on the one who created us, who redeemed us, and who prepares us for the work that we're called to do. May we be listeners and then doers. Amen and amen.